We're going to start the middle of Ayin Hey, Amud Aleph. The middle we just finished up. The Gemara was discussing about the Psak Halacha with regards to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that in general we pass on like him, but there are three exceptions. One of those three exceptions happens to be our Mishnah. So now, Tarabanan, Hareze Gitek. This is your get. Behind the yar sheli, that the paper is mine. Meaning that he gives the woman a get. It says this is your get, but the paper remains in my possession. Eina migureshet. Then she is not migureshet. Why? Because as Rashi says, he didn't give her anything, right? And the Torah says he has to give her an atan biyadah. And over here, he didn't give her anything because he still owns the paper. Almanat shetachziri li et niyar. But if he says on a condition you return me the paper, migureshet, then she is divorced. Maishna resha or maishna seifa. What's the difference between these two memrot in the brisa? Samra chista hamani Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel he. Right. So now Rabbi Chista is going to bring a series. We're going to actually have, I think, four answers here, as to explain what this brisa means, or why there's a why the first half of the brisa says ena migreshet, whereas the second half of the brisa says she is migreshet. So the first attempt to do that is Rabbi Chista, who says that the author of this Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Damar titein lo et damehah, because we saw yesterday that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in the Mishnah believes that, for instance, where you have an itzalit, where he demands that she gives a coat, that you actually, if the coat's missing, he doesn't have to give the coat, but he can give the equivalent value. Also over here, right, she can pay money. Meaning that, what was his demand? His demand was that they get divorced. And then, when they get divorced, after they get divorced, she should return the paper to him. So why is she divorced in this instance? He said in the previous, on the ratio of the Mishnah, if the paper is gone, if there is no paper, there's no detino. So Rabbi Yishlov Chist explains this. This is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, says you won't have to return the actual object, you can return the object's equivalent value. So over here, you have the paper, and instead of giving the paper, he'll give back the monetary value of the paper, and she will give back the monetary value of the paper, not the paper, and therefore it'll be a valid get. So where it says, Matifa, Abaye challenges this position or this explanation of Abaye. Ima dam Rabbi Shimon Gamliel heka delete be'enei. When does Rabbi Shimon Gamliel say you can give the equivalent value and not the object itself? That's when the object is not extant. Right, heka de'ita be'enei. But if we have the object in front of us, Mi'amar, who says that he allows for you to replace the object with its monetary value? He only lets you replace it with its monetary value when it's not there. But who says if it's there, he will let you do that? So who said this may not be a good answer? Elo Omar Abayis. Now here's the second attempt at explaining this brisa. Hamani, Rabbi Meir, he. Now the rest of the answers are going to follow this position or this general thought, which is that this brisa is Rabbi Meir, he. Now Rabbi Meir, as found in the Gemara in Kiddushin, it's machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim about the way one must structure a tnai, a condition. So generally, Rabbi Meir is the one or of the opinion that we have to structure a tnai, a condition, like the tnai of Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain. What's the tnai of Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain? Right, well, one of those, as the Shaul points out, one of them is that it must be two-sided, but there are numerous requirements of a tnai, Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain, which is that in the Torah, when Moshe makes a deal with the Bnei Gad and Ruvain that will take possession of the property in Eber Yardain, if they go in front and they battle first, right, and if they don't battle first, then they will take their possession with the rest of the Am in Eretz Canaan. So that Tanai is a paradigm, or is a Abtipus for all Tanaim. So one of those conditions, one of the things that happens to be unique about the Tanai Bnei Gad and Reuven, is the fact that it's a Tanai Kaful. That is, it's a double Tanai, which means that both the positive and the negative were formulated. Moshe says, if you cross in front of the Am and you conquer, then you will get the property on Eber Yardin. If you do not cross in front of the Am, then you will inherit with the rest of the Am in Eretz Canaan. So the Mara says, so that's the suggestion of Abai is that Rabbi Meir is the author of this brisa. Here he didn't double his tnai. So truthfully, the second half of that brisa, the reason it's a valid get is his tnai is not a good tnai. His tnai is meaningless. Then he gave a get, and then he made a condition to fulfill him that must be fulfilled in order for the get to be a good get. But his condition wasn't formulated properly. Because his condition just said, on the condition, you return me the get. Right? But he should have said, if he wanted to make it like it's not B'nai Gad or B'nai Reuben, what you have to do? You should have to say, if you return me the get, then this the get, then it's a valid get. If you do not return me the get, then it is an invalid get. That second half is missing from his Tanai. So because it's missing, right, the Tanai falls away, the Tanai is meaningless, and the get is a valid get. That's where Rabbi is going to explain our Braisa. So again, we'll read it. El Amar Rabbi, Hai Mani, Rabbi Meir, Hi, Damar Be'inan, Tanai, Kofu. We need the double Tanai. Ha'ha, Ha'lo, Kofu, the Tanai. Over here, he did not double his Tanai. So the Machbi floor, Rova says, so you think the only failure in his condition here was that he didn't double, meaning that he didn't do the positive, formulate in the positive and the negative. Had he formulated in the positive and negative, lo habigite, wouldn't have been a get. Where do we learn out all conditions of Tanaim? Mitznai b'nei Gad u'b'nei Ruvain. Ma'atam Tanai kodim l'masa, apkol Tanai kodim l'masa. So another requirement of the Tanaim, that is based on the Tanai b'nei Gad u'b'nei, is that the condition precede the action. Meaning that in this instance, it should say, if you return me the get, this will be a valid get. But the way he formulated was what? He said, this will be a valid get if you return me the get. So his condition was after the action. Whereas we require, and they got Reuven, when Moshe says to them, it says, Im Chalutzim Telech, if you go before the Am, then you'll inherit Ve'ivar Yerdin. So he places the condition first, and then the result afterwards. So over here, he has a second failure in his statement or his Tanai. Not the failure that it's not a Tanai Kofel, but even more fundamental, a more fundamental problem, which is what? That his Tanai is after, his condition is after the action versus his condition preceding the action. So that's, we'll read that inside again. So, so according to Rava, there again, the failure in the second half of the Braisa, the reason it's a good get is because his Tanai fails. Why is his Tanai fail? Not because it's not a double Tanai, but it's a failure because the Tanai comes after the Masa. Tanai comes after the Masa, it's not a valid Tanai, and therefore when he gave the get, it was a valid get, and the Tanai falls away as if it doesn't exist. Now, Rashi over here is of an opinion, Tosfos argues on him, it's more explicit in Kiddushin in other places, but Rashi over here says that the Chachamim will argue on Rabbi Meir. Chachamim would disagree with Rabbi Meir and say that you do not require a Tanai Kuffel, do not require a double Tanai in a Tanai, because the reason that Moshe had to have a Tanai Kuffel from B'nai Gad B'nai Reuven was what? He actually said to them, if you go Chalutzim L'Kneam, you will inherit Be'ivar HaYardim. So if you did not, if he was not Kuffel the Tanai, what would you have thought? That if they don't go Chalutzim L'Kneam, they get no Yerusha whatsoever. So Moshe had to give the other side, which was, if they don't go Chalutzim L'Kneam, they will inherit in Eretz Canaan. So he had to make the other side of the Tanai. So the Chachamim say there's a reason you need both sides of the Tanai over there. That's not a condition for all Tanai. It was unique to that case because it was necessary. So the Chachamim argue on Rabbi Meir. But Rashi believes that Ben Rabbi Meir, Ben Rabbanan, that only argue in Kfela, and this doubling of the Tanai. But the other conditions, which we're going to see in a second, one is Rav over here, and the next, Amud we're going to see from Ravashi, these conditions, even the Chachamim agree. Even the Chachamim agree that the Maiseh has to be after the Tanai. It has to be Tanai first, then Maiseh, and even the Chachamim agree. Tosfos disagrees and says that the Chachamim disagree, even in this case, that the Chachamim, it's explicit Gemara and Bava Metzia, the Chachamim argue in Rabbi Meir, even in the issue of Maiseh Lifnei Tanai or not. So according to Rashi, right, it's even more understandable why Rava would rather have this be a problem. This is a problem because then, well, the problem both for Chachamim and for Rabbi Meir. It doesn't make this Braisa uniquely Rabbi Meir. Right, according to Tosfos, the Braisa will still be uniquely Rabbi Meir, according to Rava, because Rabbi Meir is the only one who holds that you have this problem of Tanai Kodim Lamaaseh. But according to Rashi, since the Chachamim agree in this case, then it'll be different. The Rava is extending a Abaye's position by making the Divrei Hakol. And again, it's a more fundamental problem in the Tanai. So now, Matkitla Rav Adar Rav, so Rav Adar has time with the Masha Kodun Tanai, Hat Tanai Kodun Lamasha, and had he formulated the condition properly over here, which means what? That he put the condition prior to the Maisa, Lavigita, then it would not have been a get, Michtei Kotanai Mehefi Gamrin. And again, what's the paradigm for a Tanai? Right? Where we learn that from? It's Nai B'nei Gad B'nei Ruei. Ma Hatzam Tanai B'Dabar Echad. O Ma Asir B'Dabar Acher Avkol. So what's this? Another condition in the Tanai B'nei Gad B'nei Ruei, which is that the condition, the object of the condition and the object of the Maaser are different. I mean, the requirement for B'nai Gad and Reuven is they must go before the people to fight. Right? The requirement is that you must go and fight the battles with the people. Then you will what? You will inherit in Ivar Yardin. So Ivar Yardin is the object of what they're trying to accomplish, is that's what they're trying to get. And the object of Moshe's Tanai is the battles, right? They must fight in front of the Yam. Totally separate issues. They have nothing to do with each other. So too, every Tanai and Maaseh must act in this way. The Tanai must be differentiated. The object of the Tanai must be differentiated from the Maaseh. Aval, the Fuke Hakam. In our case, that's not the situation. Why not? Right? The Tanai, Umaseh B'dvar Echad. In our instance over here, the Tanai and the Maaseh are dealing with the same object. Why is that? What was his? He's giving the get. That's the Maaseh. So the Maaseh is the get itself. What was his condition? His condition is if you return the get. So the object of his Tanai and the object of his Maaseh are both the same thing, the get. So that would be a failure in, again, Tanai, and it's in the way that he formulates the Tanai. There's a failure. And that is what causes the problem over here. So, El Amar Rav Abba Bar Abba Mishum, the Tanai and Maaseh Dor Echad. The failure over here is that the Tanai and the Maaseh are in one object. They were focused on one object. Since they focus on one object, that is not called a proper Tanai. Again, the explanation of this Misfaro is that the Tanai is Sotah the Maaseh. Right, that's the way Tosfos formulates it, meaning that if you have two objects, then the Maaseh is one, and that action is whole and whole by itself, and then you have a condition which is independent of the object. But if you come along and make a condition to the actual same object that the Maaseh is, then in a sense you've undermined the Maaseh itself. If you undermine the Maaseh itself, maybe the Maaseh is worthless at this point, right? Because the Tanai changes the Maaseh. So in that case, you say that the Tanai is not a good Tanai. It's not a good Tanai. The Maaseh stands by itself. And again, this will be a valid get, because his condition that you return the get is not a valid condition. Now, what about, for instance, the case of, what's coming up, since it's in Yad Yoma, I'll break for a second, which is Etrog. What happens when you say to somebody on the first day of Sukkot, in order to be Yotze with the Dalet meaning, what do you need? You need to own your Dalet meaning. Because that should be Lakachtem Lachem. So when you give, when generally when you give someone else to take your Lulav and Esrog to use, what do you say? Here is your Lulav and Esrog. Here's my Lulav and Esrog. Almanat, my condition that you return them to me, meaning that I'm giving them for temporary ownership, Matana Almanat Tahatzir, and you'll have that ownership, and then you return it to me afterwards. Now listen, what's your Tanai and Maaseh about? The Maaseh is that you're gifting a lulav and esrog. What's the condition? That you return the lulav and esrog. So then you have a Maaseh and Tanai b'davar echad. So how come that's a valid Tanai? How come it's a valid Tanai? So the Tosfos asks him here. He says, "Aval helef etrog zeh b'matana amanat achzir." All right, I'm not because you lo having Tanai Maaseh b'davar echad. Why? It's really I'm not to omer me achshav. Right, that when someone says amanat, it's as if you said me achshav v'matana chalom miyad. That's the answer. What's the answer? The answer is when you say amanat on condition that, right, this we're going to see in a second, that's the position of Rabbi, also that whenever you say amanat, it means k'me'achshav, immediately. So when you have a matana amanat v'hachzir over here, the matana becomes effective immediately. If the matana becomes effective immediately, then the condition to return afterwards does not undermine the maaseh. The action is here and now, which is that you gave the lulav and esrog to this person, he's yotze immediately, because as soon as he gets it, it's miaksha, he takes a kinyan and it's done. Miaksha tafsir does not undermine his fact that he gave the lulav and esrog. That doesn't mean that you're a thief. If you don't return it, then you're gone, you're a ganav. But that doesn't mean that what you did before was not a kinyan. That's what Tosfos explains. And the sukkah is when we do such a thing, kinyan happens immediately. Again, it's a chakira. There is a general chakira in a title of miaksha tafsir, how it works.
So it brings down the Rosh and the Ritva who believe that when you have a matana manach na'achzir, the gift is given to the other individual, and then the manach na'achzir requires the other individual to gift it back to you. I mean that you give a gift that's an unlimited gift, And then the other person now, through the Tanai, is required to gift it back to you. And that's why in the Gemara in Sukkah it says that a katan, you can't give a matan menachna haksir, because the katan's unable to be makne back to you. The Ktzos himself thinks that matan menachna haksir works by the fact that it's a time-limited gift. The gift is gifted for a duration, and then at the end of that duration, it reverts back to you. Not that it's a permanent gift that needs to be gifted back, but rather that it's a time-limited gift. But either way, no matter which chakira you look, Tosfos will work over here, because it seems that
the matana happens immediately, and the condition is independent. It's exogenous to the kinyan itself. Since it's exogenous to the kinyan happens, and then the matahaksir is a requirement that otherwise you're a thief, and you're stealing. So it does not, but it does not change the fact that you actually take possession of the will of an Esther. That's how Tosfos explains it. So now, Ravada Rava says, so far we've had, right, four explanations as to why the Braisa is, right, is says that a get is a good get. The first one was Rav Chisda, who says Rav Shimon Gamliel, says that you can replace an item with its equivalent value. Number two was Abaye, who said that the author of the Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, who requires Tanai Kopel. And here he didn't do a Tanai Kopel, so the Tanai is meaningless, and the get is a valid get, because the Tanai falls away. Rabba said, no, you can't do that. Tanai Kopel, right, is only Rabbi Meir, the possible retroaction of Rabbi Meir's opinion, or is a slightly more questionable variant of what you need at Tanai. But if the failure here is that you didn't have the Tanai called the Maaseh. Right? That's what Rava says. The Tanai did not precede the Maaseh, therefore the Tanai is not a good Tanai, and the Maaseh stands, and the get is a good get. The last position here was Rava, but the failure in the Tanai here is that the Tanai and the Maaseh reference a single object, unlike the Megan Reuven, where they referenced two objects, and therefore that's a failure in the Tanai again, and the get is a valid get. Those are the four answers to that. Now we have a fifth answer from Ravashi. Right, the last answer is Amar Ravashi Hamani Rabihi. The author of our Braisa is Rabihi. The Amar of Huna Marab Kolomer Almanat Gomer Miakshal Dami. So in our Mishnah, when he says Almanat, that you return the get afterwards, what does he mean? He means Miakshal. What is that? So how does that help us? Oh, if you give the get, when the person gives the get to the woman, is the get effective immediately? The answer is, well, it depends. If you say me'akshav, then the get's effective immediately. And then when she returns the get later on to the husband, she's giving him a gift. She had an effective gift. She doesn't need to hold on to the document to be divorced, right? That's just a raya that she's divorced. But she's divorced as soon as she gets the get. So if you say me'akshav, get's effective immediately. Then she has to fill the condition later on, which is al-makshav to Siri, she returns it. If you say, don't say me'akshav, that means that when does the get become effective? Only when she returns it to her husband. And once returns it to her husband, the get goes effective, she doesn't have a get in her hand anymore, it's not going to be valid. So who's the author of Mishnah? Rabbi, who says that whenever you say Amanat, it's the equivalent of saying Me'akshav. And if it's Me'akshav, the get was effective immediately. It's effective immediately, then when she returns it later, it doesn't matter because she's just gifting something, but the get's effective immediately. Now, it's in Shmuel Begita, Meshchiv Meira. Shmuel was metakein in a get of Meshchiv Meira, someone who's on his deathbed, but this is the language that they must insert into the get. That imlo mingdi, if I do not die, lo yehei get. It should not be a get. Ve'imeti, if I do die, yehei get. So basically, what did he do? He created it in a way that it should be like the Tanai Bnei God, the Bnei Reuven. Number one, that it was a Tanai helpful, right? Number two is that the Tanai comes before the Maaseh, imeti and lo meiti, right? And obviously they're not dvar achad because one of them is death and one of them is the get, so you're not dealing with a single object. So here, this way they were mekayim all, right, the requirements of Tanai. So Gemara says, well, you missed one of them, which is what? There's one additional requirement, lema imeti yehei get, vim lo meiti lo yehei get. What's that? That in general, the Tanai get bnei Reuven require that you have the positive statement first, the active statement first, right, and the negative statement second. So the way he should have formulated is, if I die, right, then the get is effective. If I don't die, the get is not effective. So how come he did? Shmuel has it, the tukan, right? But he was attacking the get shubmira, he had that formulated the other way around. If I don't die, it will not be a get. If I do die, it will be a get. So he formulated, the hain should be first, then the lot, and he has it the other way around. So Mara says, no, lo matim inish pronoto the nafse. Person does not want to, right, basically, he doesn't want the bad news first. Right? And we had this earlier in the Masechta, we had this on Yudchedim and Aleph. Over there is a person who writes a get to his wife and puts it in his pocket. And we say there that he does not, the get does not go effective, right? Because we say, Lamikdam Inish pronounced. He thinks he can convince his wife. He can impious his wife and he won't give the get. So we don't say that the get is, right? Valid right away because we say Lomakim Inish Pranatul Anashi again, which would support Rashi's position. Yesterday, if you remember, Rashi had two studim about what's the natural state of divorce. Right, the natural state of divorce, people want evil and they want it done right away. Whereas divorce, something where a person tries to delay as much as possible. Again, this is more like the tzad that a person doesn't want divorce to happen right away. That based on the document settlement out, also Lomakim Inish Pranatul Anashi. So now Lema. So now this is the suggestion. Lema Lo Yehay Get. Im lo meti, right? That this should not be a get, right? If I don't die, so Mar says we need a cycle of maase. So if you want to get, we can't do that because you need the tnai to precede the maase. So now matkif lo robo mifte kol tnai mehikin gamrinim. Where do we know every tnai from? We tnai b'nei God b'nei Reuven. Maha tamhin kol dem balav. Right over there, the positive, the active statement is first, and then the negative, right, the passive statement second. Afkol, so too. Afukei hafka. The way you have Shmuel, you have it formulated that the lav is kol dem lahein. So now what is Rava going to do? Rava has to deal with two issues. One issue is that the person doesn't want to say the bad news first and doesn't want to have if I die first. And number two is we have the Tanai Bnei God Bnei Reuven, which means that the active formulation must be first. So what are you going to do over here? So Rava comes up with a solution. Listen to this. If I do not die, it will not be a get. If I do die, it will be a get. And again, if I do not die, lo yehay get, it will not be a get. So now what if you solve the problem by having it formulated this way? He gets the best of both worlds. What? Im lo meiti lo yehay get, that's the first statement. Lo makdamish to pronounce an option. You don't want to start out with the bad news, so he starts out with the formulation, if I do not die. Right? Im meiti yehay get. Then afterwards he says, im meiti yehay get, im lo meiti lo yehay get. He repeats it again. Why? Being a main part of the lab. That's so that the tnai is formulated in the proper way. So he says, you start out with the passive or negative comment because you don't want to start out with bad news or you don't want to start about death. Then he goes and repeats. He says, if I do die, that it will be a get. If I don't die, it won't be a get. He repeats that statement again in order to have the tnai formulated the way that the tnai may got and moving it, that it's the positive, the active statement first. So he accomplishes both of them. So you have to make three. That's his takana. The takana probably is that three statements in a get shvib meira. It would put all three of these languages in there in order to accomplish all of these. Again, that is explicit that if he doesn't die, it won't be a get. Number two is that that will be the last that you have the active before the passive. And number one, you start out with a negative statement just so that it will not be the makdaminish pronata lenafshe.
Okay, continuing with the Mishnah. How is it gitech? I'm not sure to shamshi at Abba. I'm not sure to niki at bini. So the person gives a get, but in that get, or with the get, he gives a condition that you must service my father or that you must nurse my child. So kamehi minikto, how long must she nurse the child to fulfill this tanai? So Tanakama says, shtei shonim, Rabbi Yehuda omer shmonasar chodesh. Tanakama says 2 years. Rabbi Yehuda says 18 months. So this is machlokas in ksubos. It's a general machlokas about what's the normal amount of time for minika, for yunika, that the time that one nurses, is it 18 months or 2 years? And this will apply here as well. When he says that you will nurse my child, it means for the duration that normally is a person nurses, and that's 18 months or 2 years. Now, with regards to the father, the Mishnah gives no defined time, and there is no defined time, and that's what Rashi comes over here. When it comes to the father, she's going to service him the rest of his life, because there is no qualified or defined time for that. Now, meta ben, osha meta av. If the son passes away or the father passes away, how is it get? I mean, the son passes away, he passes away before the 18 months or the 2 years are up. And obviously the father passes away, that would terminate the need to service him. So the way Rashi learns it over here, Meita Ben is Kodem Azman, O Meita Av. So when it's talking about the son, it means that he died prior to completing the 18 months or the 2 years. Obviously the father died, that's the termination, that's the end of the amount of time that she has serviced him. So according to Rashi, at least she has done some nursing, but she just hasn't completed the 18 months or the 2 years. So therefore, it is a valid get. Tosas disagrees with Rashi over here and says, wait, of course if she nursed a little bit, then it's a valid. Because all he said was that you should be nurse this child, you should take care of my Abba. And that was leharvocha, that was just to benefit them. If they're no longer alive, then there's no need for her services here. So of course, if she nursed them just a little bit, or she serviced them a little bit and then they die, of course, then that's qualified. That you don't need a chiddush in the Mishnah to teach you. Rather, Tosfos the Ri learns, he says, Lanir the Rabbeinu Yitzchak, the Lefi Mate Kodem, Sheinikov Shimsha Klau. That our case in the Mishnah, we're saying it's Hariza Get, is an instance where they didn't do any nursing, or she didn't do any service to the father. And nevertheless, it's still a valid get. Why? Because it was the harvacha. Again, he was just doing it for his own benefit or for the benefit of the son and the father, and they got all the benefit they needed, meaning because they don't require it anymore, there's no need for it. And therefore, it's a valid get, even though she's done nothing. Again, the Machlokes in Rashi says that she has to at least have done some of the Tanai, completed at least a portion of the Tanai, and then they pass away, then it's a valid get. The Ri says, no, she has to, could have done nothing, and it's still a valid get, because his intent was only the Harvacha. Since his intent was the Harvacha, there's no need for it. The services aren't needed anymore, and therefore it is a valid get. Now, the Mishnah brings a new case. Where explicitly gives the amount of time so that she must service the father. It's 2 years. Or that he must service the son for 2 years. Meta ben. So if the son dies, Osher Amar Av Ef Shishit Tisham Sheni, or the father says, I prefer that she doesn't service me, or there's another girsa that says Oshimeta Av that the father passed away or said that I don't want her services. Lobak Pada. And again, the case, the reason he doesn't want her services is not because she did something that makes him not want her around, but rather that he didn't need her services anymore. Ain't a get. In this instance, it's not a get, because here he explicitly states that it's got to be for 2 years, and she's not fulfilling the 2-year requirement, even though the Akava, the reason she's not fulfilling it has nothing to do with her, but his demand for 2 years is not being met over here. Shimon Gamliel, America, ze get. Like, this is a get. Klal Amar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel has a general principle that explains his position here. Kol Akava she'ina himena, her is a get. As long as she's not the cause of the Tanai not being fulfilled, then we consider the Tanai to have been as if fulfilled, and if it's as if fulfilled, the get should be a valid get over here. So the Gemara says, that's a question on the ratio, Umi be'inan kuli hai. Do we really need her to nurse for so long? I mean, 18 months, 2 years, is this really true that you need to nurse for such a long time? Very many, we have a brisa that says, Shimashto yom echad, had she serviced the father for 1 day, heniktato yom echad, or serviced their, or nursed the child for 1 day, hariz a get, that's a valid get. So you see from the brisa, 1 day is sufficient to fulfill the Tanai. Why are we requiring 18 months and 2 years for unique for the nursing case? So Amar Rav Chista, that's not a problem. Lo kasha, ha Rabbonon, ha Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. The difference between the Rabbon and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, this is the machlokes that we saw earlier with the Itztalit, with regards to the coat. Where Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel believes that if the coat was lost, you can replace it with its equivalent value. And the Chachamim believe that you cannot replace it with its equivalent value. So therefore, Masnisin, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, our Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. And as Tosfos explains it, Rashi says it, but Tosfos is more explicit, easier to understand over here. Tosfos says that Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, it says by itztalit that you give the equivalent value, means that he's looking for avocha, and that he's looking for value here. He wants the monetary value of her services. And therefore, our Mishnah also is talking about harvacha, and what's the normal amount of time that one services, right? That means the amount of unique or shimush, that's the normal time that one would expect. And the normal time one would expect is 18 months, 2 years for unique, and until the person passes away is the shimush aspect. So since Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in the previous Mishnah says to us that you can replace a coat with its equivalent value, that tells us that when a person makes a tanai, or at least Rabbi Shimon is, when the husband's making a tanai, he's not trying to cause her pain. He's not trying to cause her difficulty. He's trying to get a benefit out of this. And when you're talking about a benefit, we say, what's the normal benefit that one would expect? The normal benefit that one would expect is 18 months or 2 years. And that's why the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is the author of our Mishnah. On the other hand, who's the author of our Braisa? The Braisa is the Rabbanan. Our Braisa is the Rabbanan. And again, Tosa says, explains that the Braisa is the Rabbanan because they believe that it's Litzu'ura Kamik Havin, that when a husband makes such a Tanai, he's trying to cause her pain or difficulty. And therefore, when he says, bring me my coat, he means my coat and nothing else, because he doesn't want her to bring equivalent value. It's not about the value, it's about the difficulty that he's going to cause her. And since he's going to cause her difficulty, right, 1 day already, servicing for 1 day, or nursing for 1 day, has already put her out. And if he's put her out already, that's already sufficient to be Mekayim the Tanai. So they'll be the author of the Braisa that says that she only has to nurse for 1 day and she's Mekayim the Tanai.
So that's the position of Rav Chisda. So now the Gemara questions this. Rav Misefer, Rav Shimon Gamliel, since in the end of the Mishnah, Rav Shimon Gamliel is mentioned explicitly, that implies that the first half of the Mishnah is not Rav Shimon Gamliel. And the way you've set this up now, Rav Chisda, is that Rav Shimon Gamliel is the author of the first half of the Mishnah. So why does it need to say at the end, Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel, if he's already the author of the first half of the Mishnah? Ella Brisa Rav Shimon Gamliel. No, we have to reverse this. The Brisa is the position of Rav Shimon Gamliel, the Mekel Bitznai, and Masnisin Rabbanan, and the Mishnah is Rabbanan. So Rav Shimon Gamliel, who we've seen in more than one instance, says by a Tanai that we go easy on her. Why is that? One is the case before by the Itztalit. When it goes to the coat, we say that she doesn't have to return literally the coat, but she can return even the monetary value. In our Mishnah over here, we also see that he's Mekel by Tanai, that if the problem of fulfilling the Tanai does not come from her. We say that Tanai is Mikuyam and she is a valid get. So we see in general that Rav Shimon Gamliel is Mekel by Tanai, that we look for the least. And according to this, right, Rav Shimon Gamliel is the author of the Braisa, because the Braisa says, what's the least amount you could say to qualify for this Tanai? That is one day. If he says, nurse the son or service my father, if she does it for one day, that's the least amount that would be to qualify in this position. So therefore, based on this, the Rabbanon are the author of the Mishnah, because the Rabbanon in both these cases are Machmir when it comes to Tanai. They say by Itzlit, literally bring the Itzlit to not its equivalent value. And over here they say that if the failure to come kind of to Tanai is, even though it's not her fault, nevertheless we say it's not a valid get. So to over here, when we say Tanai to service, the Chachamim mean, what's the full amount of time that a person normally services, and that's 18 months or 2 years, and therefore she's going to be required to do the whole amount, or unless they die, but at least at this point we were going to assume that just do the whole amount. Now, Rava offers an alternative pshat over here. Rav Chisda gave us an explanation between to reconcile the Braisa and the Mishnah. Now, Rava gives us an alternative. Rava Amar Lokasha Kam B'Stam Kam B'Meforish. That the difference between the Braisa and the Mishnah is what he said. In the Mishnah, he just said to her, to service my father or to nurse, without defining the amount of time. That, what's the natural time that a person does that? If you just say it without any explicit instructions about the amount of time, then we assume the time is 18 months to 2 years for nursing, and then until his father dies for servicing his father. Kam b'mifarish, when he explicitly says to service his father for one day, or to service his nurse the son for one day, then all he's required is one day. So the Brice is where he explicitly gives the amount of time that she must do it. And the Mishnah is a case where he says Stam, he says it without defining the time. So now, Rav Ashi disagrees with Rava. Not that he's trying to explain the Brice and the Mishnah here, but he just disagrees with this point. Rava's point is that whenever you say Stam, when you don't define the amount of time, our natural assumption about the amount of time is 18 months or 2 years for nursing. And Rav Ashi disagrees. He says, Kol stam kanami kufarish yom echadami. If a person does not define the amount of time, then we assume the least amount of time, and that is one day. So even when you say it's stam, even when you say it without any given time, we assume that it means one day. So now the Gemara is going to ask on Rav Ashi's position, it's not. Kami himinekto, shteshanim. Right? How much time does he have to nurse her? It's 2 years. Or yudomir, shmonasar chodesh. So our mission explicitly says that, yes, she has to nurse for 18 months and 2 years. Yet, according to Rav Ashi, right, there was a case of stam. The mission doesn't say that he defined the amount of time. It says that he simply said, right, he simply said, you will nurse my son, or that you will service my father. So here's a case of stam, and then they're arguing, two tanaim are arguing about 18 months and 2 years, not one day in the Mishnah. So Gemara says, Bishlam, other Rava Neich, according to Rava, this makes sense, because it's a case of stam, and stam is 18 months and 2 years. Elul Rav Ashi, Lamalish Teshanim, Lamalish Mosar Chodesh. What's 18 months and 2 years doing here at all? All he says is when you say stam, it means one day. So why isn't one day sufficient? So b'yom echad sagi, it should be enough. So achi kamar, this is what it means. When it says 18 months and 2 years in the Mishnah, this is what it means. Yom echad mishtei shanim lafukad achash tei shanim. Delo, that means one day out of the first 2 years. But after 2 years, no. Or yom echad mishmona asar chodesh, one day within the 18 months, lafukad achash mona asar chodesh. So the 18 months and 2 years are not defining how much time she must nurse, but it's the within which period must she nurse. Since nursing is only efficacious or good for the baby during the first 18 months or 2 years, therefore only if she nursed him for one day within that time period is it considered that she fulfilled the Tanai. But if she nurses him after that period of time, that's not considered to be within the framework of nursing or within the framework of what normally one would nurse. And therefore it would not be a completion or fulfillment of the Tanai. So that's how Rav Ashi answers up our Mishnah. It's still talking about one day when he says Stam, but it's just when that one day must be done, and that's qualified by 18 months or 2 years. So now the Gemara says, Yom Echad Meishtem Asar Chodesh, Lafukad Achash Meishtem Asar Chodesh. Lo. Meitavet. Now another question for our Mishnah. Ari gezek gitek amanashet tishim shiat abba shtei shanim amanashet tzniki et b'ni shtei shanim. So that's the second part of our Mishnah where he explicitly says that tnai is for 2 years. Meitaben oshamar av ef shishit tishim shein shlo bakpada enu get. Right, then it's not a get. So now Bish Lama the Rova, Rova's explanation, according to Rova, we can explain it why Reshit below Parish. The first half of the Mishnah is a case of Stam, and therefore it's 18 months or 2 years, and if the child passes away, or the father passes away, she's considered to have been completed the whatever she needed to do. Whereas below, but in the Seifa is a case, Biporish, that she was explicit saying that it must be 2 years. So Rashi points out over here that why does it make a difference in Parish? I mean that both of them require him to do it for 18 months or 2 years. So why when he says 2 years, Parish, does it change it? So Rashi says because it was unnecessary. Had he not said anything, and he should just said, Stam, you should nurse my child, we would have known that it's for 2 years. So now when he comes and says 2 years, it must be that he's saying 2 years Leikuva. That means literally 2 years, and if you fail to do 2 years, then it's not a valid get. So that's the way Rova will explain the Mishnah. Rova will explain the first line, the first case in the Mishnah is a case where he says Stam, and it is a valid get, because any amount you do will fulfill the requirement. Yet in the second case in the Mishnah where he explicitly says the time, since it was unnecessary for him to explain the time, therefore when he does, it means it's Liikuva, and if the son dies in that period of time, within the 2 years, it's a failure in the Tanai, because he said, I want 2 years, and nothing less than 2 years. And that's how Rova will explain the Mishnah. Hello, the Ravashi. What are you going to do with the Ravashi? Mishnah Resha, Mishnah Seifa. What's the difference between the Resha and the Seifa? In the Resha, Ravashi believes when you say Stam, it's the equivalent of saying you must do it for 1 day. So therefore, according to this, if you did nothing, right, then what happened? You did not. If you did nothing, read this Rashi. This Rashi is important. Rashi, Elul Ravashi. The Amar Reisha Demasnis and Yom Echad. That the Reisha of Mishnah is talking about when you say Stam, when you say nothing, it's equivalent of saying 1 day. Kamar Arkocha Meita Beno Av Diktani. When it says the father of the son passed away, came in Shemait Filonikto Klal. Must be a case where he did no nursing at all. But my is a get. Why should this be a get? Hari Lonitz Kaim Klum Minet Nai. Nothing of the condition was fulfilled. Again, this is Rashi Lashita To. That in our Mishnah, when it says in the ratio of the Mishnah, when it says that he must, that the condition is that you must nurse or you must service my father, according to Rashi, you must have done something, right? If you have done something, then it's qualified, or therefore you will not need anything more. Because you were fulfilling the Tanai. But if you did nothing at all, if you never nursed, or if you never serviced the father, according to Rashi, that would not be a valid get in the ratio. So over here, how do you explain Ravashi? That's what Rashi is saying here. According to the way I'm learning the Mishnah, Ravashi makes no sense, because Ravashi says that Stam is the equivalent of saying 1 day. So now what are your options? If he serviced her a little bit, that's already 1 day. If he already nursed for 1 day, then you're done, and he fulfilled the Tanai. If he did nothing at all, Rashi already said that that's not valid, and it does not mikayim the Tanai. So that's the way Rashi explains our Gemara, and that's the question of Rashi. Now again, we explained in our Mishnah that Tosfos says that even if you did nothing, right, that is a valid Tanai in the first case in the Mishnah. Even if she did no nursing, or even if she did no service to the father, because he did not explicitly say the amount of time, right, then it's enough, because all it was leharvacha, he just wanted to get benefit. And if they're dead, there's no need for that benefit. So therefore, even if she did nothing, it's still a valid get. So how's Tosfos going to explain this? So Tosfos argues on Rashi for two reasons. Tosfos argues on Rashi's explanation of Rava, because he says that the reason that Rava says when you say shtei shanim, that means literally 2 years and no less, is because you didn't have to say anything. If you said nothing, right, it would have been 2 years automatically. So Tosfos rejects it and says that's not the reasoning behind Rava, right? Because then, first of all, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it says it's 18 months, then you do need to say 2 years, because the natural default would not be 2 years, it would have been 18 months. And when you say 2 years, it's more than 18 months. So he rejects that pshat. And number two, he rejects the pshat, as we said earlier in the pshat, that if you do nothing, that it will be an invalid get. So that he explains, and this Tosfos on the top of Ayin Vov Menalf, says, V'nir L'ri, right, that this is the explanation here of the Parish. Bishlam al the Rova, what does it mean that it works according to Rova? Besefa the Parish. What does it mean that he explicitly says it? The whole Parish Teshanim, that when he explicitly says for 2 years, Vade Litsuura Kamikavin, then he's trying to cause her pain. So the way Tosfos explained the ratio, why do we need her to do nothing? Even if she did no nursing or no shimush of the father, it's still a valid get. That's because, right? It was larvacha. All he wanted was to get some benefit, and now that they're dead, he doesn't need that benefit. But when he comes and explicitly says 2 years, it's not that he wants the benefit. He wants to cause her the pain for that 2 years, because the fact is, if he really wanted it for their benefit, he would have terminated the requirement after they died. But the fact that he says 2 years no matter what means that he's trying to cause her pain. If he's trying to cause her pain, then if she doesn't do it for the 2 years, she hasn't done the tonight. So that's what Bishlam of the Rava is at the Parish. But if you don't mate, they don't get. So then if they die, it's not a get. Hello, the Rav Ashi. So now how do you explain Rav Ashi according to Tosos? Came into Rosh and Nami have a Kimi Farish. That according to Rav Ashi, when he says Stam, is like you explicitly said one day. That means that according to Rav Ashi, even the Resha is Litzu'ura Kamikavein. Right? Because when you explicitly say the amount of time, then it's clear you're trying to cause her pain and not to get monetary benefit or to get her vocha. So that's the case. If Rav Ashi is explaining both the Resha and the Sefer are cases of Litzu'ura, then why in the Resha case is it a get? Because if it's Litzu'ura Mikavein and she fails to do anything, then it should not be a valid get according to Rav Ashi because of Litzu'ura Mikavein. So that's how Rav Tosfos explains it. Tosfos explains the Shito of Rava again is that the reason when you're Mefarish, it's different than the Resha, because when you say Stam, then we say Lohar Vacha, you're just trying to get monetary benefit. If they pass away, there's no need for that monetary benefit anymore. There's no need for that benefit. As opposed to that, when you're Mefarish, when you explicitly say that's Litzu'ura Mikavein, you're trying to cause her pain. If she does not fulfill the full amount, then she's not Mekayim the tonight. According to Rav Ashi, and way Tosfos learns the Mishnah, had he not said anything, meaning in a case of Stam, right, in a case of Stam, then we also say it's Larvacha, and Larvacha means, according to Tosfos, that even if she did nothing, she wasn't Meinik, she wasn't doing any Shimush, it's still a valid get, because all he wanted was the benefit. If they're not around, he doesn't need that benefit, so it would have been a valid get. The problem for Rav Ashi is that Rav Ashi believes that Stam, even when you say it's Stam, it's as if you explicitly said one day. And again, if you say explicitly the amount of time, that means Litzu'ura Kamikavein, you're going to cause her pain, and therefore she did nothing, even though it would normally be a valid get. Over here, it's not a valid get because Litzu'ura Mikavein came, and you're going to cause her pain, and you're failing to cause her pain in this instance. Okay, we'll stop over here.